Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Luke 2, verse 13 and 14. I was sharing from this last week, and in praying, I really don't feel like I was released to depart from this. There's things stirring in my heart, and it's going to bring a broader picture relative to a Christmas message. The angel of the Lord had appeared to the shepherds at night. And at verse 13, at verse 11, the angel of the Lord said, "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Then at verse 13, as that was spoken, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, or this is what they were singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And, you know, there's a particular song sung at Christmas from that verse that's just so very, very powerful. There's such a powerful revelation in this verse. I need to go back into it because I was getting into it last week, but I was sharing some different various thoughts. And I want to bring out again here that as it's declared that the Savior was born, the angels of the Lord jumped in into the situation, manifesting themselves on earth, and began to sing, declaring glory to God in the highest. Now, the angels worship God. They worship God in heaven, and they're a part of the worship of God on earth. And the worship of God involves our voice, but it also involves our life. And the angels of God help us with the will of God being done in our life, and thus that's worship to God, but then also their voice. If you don't really have a love and appreciation for using your voice to give glory to God, you're missing something. There is a joy from God we can enter into with that, but really, you're going to be a miserable person in heaven if you make it there. Now, we only make it there by one way, by faith in the work of the blood of Jesus Christ, not our own works. And some people along the way choose to forsake Christ for the pleasures of this world. So that's why I say if, you need to serve him to the end. Now, you're not going to like lose your salvation like, where'd I put my wallet? Where'd I put my phone? If I had a Benjamin for every time I heard my wife say that, where'd I put my phone? And she might need me to call her phone to find out where it is in the house. You're not going to misplace salvation. It's not like that. But you can renounce it. You can walk away from it by choice. And so as we serve him to the end, our destiny is established as heaven, and there will be the continual ongoing worship of God. So if you think this worship service is too long, you might want to consider letting God deal with your heart. Because, and I pose to you, this isn't like a rebuke, but I pose to you, what captures your attention more than him? That's not good. It's not a good thing. Something's capturing your attention. And we need to develop, a little child's attention span's very short. When something is captivating, it commands your attention. And there's really nothing in reality more captivating than the presence of God, wherein we see the character of God. So anyway, the angels of God, they jump in here and they sing, and they're singing with us. Just God didn't open our ears to hear them joining with us. you may experience that. I mentioned last week, my wife experienced that just at intercessory prayer meeting a couple years ago. She heard an angel behind us and thought, oh, the individuals normally sit back there must have came in late because it was snowing that particular night. And why did God do that for her? Well, I don't know. It's not really my business to know. He didn't tell her either. Sometimes he'll tell you things. Sometimes he'll do things and you don't really know why he's doing it, but there's always a reason. And there's times we just need the awareness. God wants us to take things by faith. His word tells us the angels are there. They're there to deliver you from evil. And they're also there to bring the plans of God to pass, which is part of the glorification of God. Now, verse 14, there are two things contained here after the announcement that the Savior is born. One is glory to God. And two is goodwill toward men. Glory to God, goodwill to man. And the thing that I said last week that I want to go in detail today is that the plan of God being worked out or manifest always carries, 100% of the time, always will involve these two things. It will bring glory to God, because everything God does is an expression of himself and will bring glory to him. And the other thing is, it is an expression of his goodwill toward men, or his grace, his favor, his love to man. Everything God does is good. That's why we should be thankful for everything that he does. We're not to be thankful for anything Satan does. We're not to be thankful for the things that are relative to the curse. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this sickness that came on the earth as a result of Adam's fall. No, we're not to thank God for the curse. We're not to thank God for the sins of man. We're not to thank God for the works of Satan. But for all things that are of God, they are all good. Therefore, our benefit, they are an expression of the riches of his grace, his heart toward us. And as we consider the heart of God toward us, it should always evoke thankfulness or praise to God. Everything God does is an expression of his goodness to us. We need to discern, is something from God, or is it from the enemy, or is it just a work of the flesh? What is it? Then we know whether to resist or submit, whether to be thankful or to renounce something. So the plan of God carries these two things. And when the Christ was incarnate, when the prophetic word and the plan of God was coming to pass right before them, where the Christ is now has taken on flesh, the word was made flesh, and here the shepherds were bearing witness to this, and there were many others who bore witness. And the angels of God bore witness to this. There is the plan of God being wrought. And again, it carries glory of God and the grace of God toward men. Now, the word goodwill, we find it twice in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. And I want to go back into that and spend the rest of the time in Ephesians, chapter 1. There is such a powerful revelation here in Ephesians 1. Begin at verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, I share frequently making mention of this verse that the old covenant or the first covenant carried blessing to cover everything in the natural. And God raised up a people through Abraham, which would become the nation of Israel, and the inheritance for them was a land. And in that land, there would be plenteous in food and all blessing in the natural. That blessing in the natural included healing. It included deliverance from enemies, protection by way of angels. It included everything, but there was no spiritual blessing because sin still was in the heart of man. Before spiritual blessing could come, sin had to be removed. Sin could not be removed except by, in fact, it was paid for with the blood of the Son of God who was sinless, except for his blood being shed. There's no payment for sin. Man could never be good enough or do enough good things. Praise God, we don't have to be good enough. There'd be no hope for you or me. It's not about you being a good boy. That religious thought can lodge very deeply in people. Even though they know grace and faith in their mind, it's still lodged deeply within them if they're man naturally, Adam, the first thing he did is try to, in his own ability, cover up for the fact the glory of God was gone. Works is inherent in the fallen man. And we need a revelation to take us beyond that. So sin had to be taken out that then the Holy Spirit could come in. And Hebrews chapter 8 and Hebrews chapter 10, quote from Jeremiah 31, where it was prophesied that God's going to have a new covenant and his law would be written in our heart and that there would be the remission of sin or sin taken out. And then we are given the gift of righteousness, whereby then the Holy Spirit can be given to us as a gift. And all spiritual blessing we have access to simply because of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God himself living in us makes it possible to access all spiritual blessing or the things that would be a blessing to us that are in the realm of the Spirit or the kingdom of God, notably love, joy, peace. But, and on with everything that's contained therein. You have access to all blessing in the Spirit. We have access to that. That's part of our inheritance. Again, the old covenant, they inherited blessing to cover everything in the natural. The new covenant's on top of that. That's not like omitted or done away with. The blessing in the natural carries over. But all spiritual blessing was added with the new covenant through Jesus Christ. According, now it's interesting, the word according is the word kata in the Greek, and it means flowing down from. And the picture or the idea is, we have our Susquehanna River flowing down a few miles east of here, and it's a mile wide, over a mile wide. It's a powerful body of water where man learned to build dams and harness the power of that river to generate electricity and also to cool nuclear towers, but that's another issue. But up in the mountains of northern Pennsylvania, on the mountaintops, there are springs. Springs of water that begin to that come up from the ground and begin to flow down those mountains. And I know from the cabin that my family was a part of, there was a spring just out close by where the cabin was on top of the mountain. And that would flow down, and it was a 6-mile hike down to the river. So the north branch of the Susquehanna, I think it was called the west branch, because there's different branches at the top part, and you have like creeks flowing into it, and these springs flow down, and the springs flow together and form a creek, and these creeks flow into the river. And as the river's coming down, it's pulling in from like the Juniata River and other rivers till it becomes a mighty river. And it feeds the whole way into the Chesapeake Bay. So you have that picture in nature. And it begins with those springs. The beginning of that mighty river is in these mountaintops in northern Pennsylvania, little springs of water, spring water. And the water in that cabin, two buckets and a pair of boots. And you would walk out to get your fresh water. No running water. Running water was you in the wintertime carrying two buckets, putting some boots on, tramping through the snow to walk like 100 feet to the spring house. Well, according, that's the word according, it's flowing from something. And this word according, it's interesting. I was just reading down through the whole book of Ephesians this morning, and it's like over and over and over and over that word is in this book. And it's really citing the beginning or the origin of one thing on top of another on top of another, according to this, according to that. Or it flowed out from. There's things that have flowed out from something else. Well, ultimately, everything's flowed out from God himself and from God as creator. It's flowed out. But then there's things on the earth that has a point of origin from which it flows to us. We have sunlight and heat that's according to the sun. If the sun ceases to exist, it's all over. There'd be no more light, there'd be no heat. We'd be like, you know, planet Neptune or something far out there where it's not benefiting from the sun. So the blessing of God is according to something, and it's according to a plan. And he plans according to purpose. Now, verse 4, let me read these verses. According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Yes. Now, that in itself tells me that God had a plan before he started. It's generally wise to find out the plans of things before you start. Now, I know sometimes you might buy something and in your mind you think, well, I know how to put this together. And you think you put it together and you have these extra parts. I wonder what these extra screws or bolts are for. What's this piece for? You know, you just started to try to do what you thought according to your own thinking, and you didn't follow the plan. And hopefully, you know, when the product that you obtained, you know, there's like instructions or a plan of how this is to work. And it's generally wise to read the instructions and follow the plan. But sometimes, I've done this before. I don't know if any of you have ever done this. You've probably all done this. You think you know. You think you know more than you know. And you proceed, and now there's some extra parts here, and you think, oh my, where does this go? So when the thing falls apart, oh, that's what that bolt was for. And God has a plan. We need to follow. It's revealed in the Word of God. We need to learn and follow his plan, not doing it what we think's right according to our own thinking. Again, it's like trying to put something together and not follow the instructions. Especially if it's something you've never done before. You know, there are some things you've done so many times, you can practically do it in your sleep. It's kind of interesting in learning to cook 15 years ago. I learned following recipes, and you know, the way the story goes, I grew up traditional, never cooked a day in my life. Donna would have the Food Channel on. And after a while, the thought began to emerge, I could do that. And then after a longer period of time, the desire rose. Because I saw that, so I can be a blessing in that way. But I needed to follow directions. I didn't have the experience of doing it over and over. And there are a few things that I can make now that I don't have to dig out a recipe. I've done it so many times. Zuppa Toscana being one of them. I've done it so many times, I don't need a recipe and really like measure everything out. And you hear about people that cook and it's all eyeballed and you have some of this and some of that. It's like, I'm sorry, but you didn't help me at all to make that. To say, yeah, put some of this, and you see these people on a cooking channel, they're taking like some salt in their finger, pinch or whatever. Well, I'm sorry, I need something more specific. I need an exact dimension here. I don't have that experience that I can just whip that out. Well, it's like that when it comes to walking in this life. Well, how do you know how to do it? We need to really look at the recipe, the instructions in the Word of God, and follow that closely. Now, maybe after you're walking in a word where it's become a habit to you. I mean, when something's a habit, you can do it without even thinking. But till you get to that point, you need to be really very focused on the exact instruction. Okay. Well, God had a plan from the beginning, and that we would be holy without blame before Him in love. I'll come back to that. Verse 5, having predestinated, that means planned ahead, that we be adopted children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And the words good pleasure is eudokia in the Greek, the same word goodwill. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's the same exact word. Good pleasure, goodwill. It's said two different ways in the English, but it's the same thing. So we see here God had a plan, and He planned something that flowed out from His love or grace toward us. All of the plan of God proceeds out of the riches of His grace and out of purpose. Now, verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, and this is repeated where it's three times in this chapter, to the praise of His glory. His purpose and His plan would bring an expression that would glorify God and be an expression of His love and grace toward man, whom He created for His glory. We exist for the glory of God. You don't exist to live a good life. I'm going to say that again. You don't exist to have pleasure or live a good life. You exist for the glory of God. But God, in His good pleasure, His good will, His love, His grace for us, wants to bless you in it while you're here in the purpose for the glory of God, the heart of God that is corresponding with that is to bless you in the midst of that. And the epitome of the blessing is all spiritual blessing, not just natural blessing. Man gets so focused and caught up in the natural kind of house he has and food and clothes and family and this, that, and the other. But the greater thing is the love and the peace and the joy, which none of those other things really give you. You know, people pursue all those things only to find it didn't really satisfy them. there's nothing to replace the joy and the peace and the love that only comes from Jesus. All spiritual blessing. Well, God, His plan brings forth glory to Him as it's being manifest, and it expresses the riches of His grace, the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, the word grace is used over and over in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. And that is God's favor, His heart toward us. That's the great, another way we're you define the grace of God, His heart toward us. You can call it love if you like. The riches, the abundance of it is so great. Wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. The mystery of His will is that He would pay for our sin, revealing His love, and then come to live in us by the Holy Spirit, and thus be glorified through our life by His Holy Spirit in us. According to, here it says again, according to His good pleasure. The mystery of His will carries with it that good pleasure, good will toward men, the grace of God, which He purposed in Himself. Down at verse 11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Again, predestination. Predestinated means to plan ahead. Now, there is an error in interpretation that much of the body of Christ has embraced. Some people think God plans everything, or that everything that happens is His plan. That is error. It is a dangerous error of interpretation. God has a plan that He executed where He made it possible for whosoever would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and submit themselves to Him as Lord could enter into this inheritance of all spiritual blessing. They could enter into being part of the family of God, being born of Him with a destiny change where heaven's the new destiny, not hell. Born of His Spirit, where we're not children of wrath anymore, as it speaks in chapter 2. We're not children of disobedience. We're not children of Satan, but we are born of the Spirit of God, entering into His family. We have the possibility to make the choice. The plan was to make that possible. Yet at the same time, God has given man choice. And we have to own our choices. One of the things today, people want to have choice with no responsibility. They want to not be accountable for anything. Why want all blessing without having to be responsible? It's like a disease in our nation, worse than the COVID flu. And you have all these people with college degrees scratching their head. Why is there all these problems in our nation? Well, it's so simple, it blows my mind. They can't see it. But apart from revelation, we don't see anything. Going to college doesn't make you smart. You might be book smart, but we need to be spirit smart concerning reality, which only comes by the Holy Ghost revealing the Word of God to us, giving us wisdom and understanding of all things from the Word, the truth of God. It's really simple. God had a plan. He's been executing this plan from the beginning. He's made it possible for men to be delivered from sin and demonic influence and destruction and death. He made it all possible. That was his plan. But it's up to us to believe and submit and commit ourselves to him, to walk in the light of the truth, so we can be delivered out from the evil. And in all of this, we see the love of God. And in the plan of God, that's the highest thing. Psalm 63:3 says, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." There's something better than a life you can live and experience. You can imagine the greatest life in the natural. And humanity does it all the time. "Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Oh, if I only had a house like this or a vacation like that. Or if your husband or wife would be like this or that." There's no end to that. You know, those kind of imaginations, they don't compare. The loving kindness, to know the love of God, is the greatest thing. And that's what the Father wanted, was a family that would know that. That would know that love. That's what he's after. So when all this is over and everything, the people have been brought forth out from this earth will be destroyed. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth without sin, destruction, death, without a curse. That day lies ahead. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We should not be so attached and fixated on this earth. It's going to pass away. And your life will pass away. And all you're going to end up with is what you have in spirit. But God had a plan. He made it all available. Not everything that happens is his plan. Those that embrace that wrong doctrine, they just submit to everything. "Well, I guess it's God's will. I'll be sick." No, it's not. It's his will for us to be healed. Hallelujah. It's his will for us to have the joy of the Lord, to have peace in our life. That's his will. That was his plan. So he had a plan that we be adopted children. You see, we are born in this life. The first man, Adam, yielded over to Satan. And the seed of sin is passed on generation to generation. That's why the virgin birth was so important. God bypassed sin. I think I might share on that next week. That's a good Christmas message. The power of the virgin birth, because we are born again. By the power of the Word of God, where we are changed and transformed, born of the Spirit. And we are adopted into this family. And in that, that's the grace of God. If you're born to your parents didn't have a choice. I mean, mom got pregnant and out came, "This is what you got." You know, learn to love it. But when you adopt, you're picking that child. The closest experience I would have to that, we're dog owners, have been forever since we've been married. And as we get another dog, you have one dog die, you're picking. And you pray for wisdom. "God, help me make a good choice here." And we saw the litter of pups. And you pick. And one of them, and we've done this numerous times over the years, one of them catches your eye. Your heart's drawn to what that puppy. "I want that puppy." And, you know, there might not, you know, puppies, this one breeder said, "Ah, they're all the same." You know, they're all the same breed, and it's all he was where he was come from is it's how you raise them. They're going to become what they are. And there's a lot of truth in that. However, there's an element of favor in that experience where you say that one, that's the one I want for whatever your reasoning is. Maybe some people will pick one because they're a sorry sight. Somebody else because they're bouncing off a wall. Somebody else because they're running up to you, slobbering on your shoes. And you say, I like that. Whatever the reason, you see something in them that your heart's drawn and you say, I make a choice to love you. And while we were yet in sin, God the Father saw something in you. There may be times you don't like what you see in you. You don't like not just your face in the mirror, but what maybe some, you know, you see beyond that, you're aware of some ugliness that comes out. I don't like that guy. Lord, help me to change. But God, in spite of all of that, see something in you and about you that he just loves you so much. He wants to bless you. He's made the choice based on his grace or him seeing something in you that's good. And for us, it's in particular potential created in purpose to glorify him. He sees your potential to glorify him. When we see as God sees, we see potential in people, even in the most vile sinners. Holy Spirit's been challenging me on this. Pray to see like I see. Because faith will follow that. Does a wicked person, wicked in our eyes, we've all done wickedness. Does that wicked person have the potential to glorify Christ? Yes. Do they have the potential to know his forgiveness? Yes. Do they have potential to serve the Lord? Yes. God sees that in the most vile and wicked people, that potential that's there. You're picking that little puppy. You see potential. They're going to be a great dog. I mean, you wouldn't pick them if you thought, this thing's going to attack me. You're going to turn on me. No, it's a potential to be this great, great dog. God, his plans are according to a purpose. And that purpose is that as he's expressing himself in the plan, being worked out, he's glorified, and it shows forth, it's always working in man's behalf. So here, the incarnation of the Christ, the Word made flesh, was one of the greatest historical moments because now this part of the plan from the beginning is manifesting. And so glorious was the moment. I mean, the angels couldn't help themselves. They burst onto the scene. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is the expression of the glory of God, glory to him, and God's heart towards humanity. Well, he says here, verse 11, we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinate according to the purpose of him. God had a purpose in all of that. It didn't just happen. It's not just a story. It was a good pleasure in him to be, verse 6, were accepted in him, were redeemed by him. He paid the price to deliver us from sin by his blood. The forgiveness of sins, God forgiving us, was the rich expression of his grace, his favor. He is completely for you. And as we learn to walk according to his plan for our life, he has a plan for you, but it's your choice. It's a choice to believe, submit, and obey. So we have to choose to do that each and every day. Lord, I choose you today. I choose to follow you today. I choose to serve you, to glorify you today. Hallelujah. So as we identify with the Christmas holiday, it's a plan of God manifest. We're farther along in the plan, close to the second coming is at hand. Hallelujah. The second coming, the plan's continuing to proceed on. So as you consider the plan, he will return for his people. We give glory to him and we know it's all working for our good.